evening, everyone. Good evening. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters, and oh boy, Paradigm Shifters are busy making a difference in the collective of our species on the planet at this time. This is the time of the great shift. But you know what? There's some big hurdles we have to get through to make the shift to heaven on earth. And Linda Sherman is our guest tonight. Welcome to the show, Linda.
Well, it's delightful to be on the show, Veronica.
It's always wonderful to have you. And for many of you who, many of you know that Linda's an astrologer. She has a wonderful newsletter called Soothsayer.com. It's www.soothsayer.com. Is that it, Linda?
That's correct, with an E in the middle.
Soothe, as in
Soothsayer.
Soothsayer.com. And Linda has a lot to say about what's going on in the planet, but also what's going on in the planets and the stars, but what's going on our planet. And boy, we've got the Bin Laden situation. We've got a lot of things to talk about, Linda. So let's get going. What do you make about the stars, the pressure, the Pluto-Saturn thing, and the Bin Laden discovery?
Well, I feel that in my newsletter, it was interesting. I felt that there are some lunations and eclipses happening this month that are pointing, I think, to a shift that Bin Laden represents, the assassination of Bin Laden, in that I think we're beginning, this could be more hopeful, of shifting from launching wars like we did in Iraq and Afghanistan, massive wars where we invade countries that never attacked us. Mm-hmm. And we're spending at the moment about 47% of our budget on military.
Isn't
in a time
incredible?
Of severe economic recession, where we're just about bankrupt, where the dollar is falling, and the economy is worsening. It's going from bad to worse. And I honestly think that what is behind this is a series, the lunations are all in prominent, what we call in conjunctions or quincunxes this month. And there are...
And lunations are the position of the moon?
The position, yes. The lunations, basically, that I like to talk about each month on my newsletter are the new moon and the full moon. And then the even more significant ones that are coming up in June are two eclipses, one June 1st, a solar eclipse and a lunar eclipse later in June. Here, I'm looking through my glasses here.
Glasses help.
I'm not seeing well here. The other one is on the 15th, and then there is a very significant eclipse that is prominent in the chart of the United States on July 1st, which is a full solar eclipse. Now, the lunations this month plus the coming eclipses, which are prominent in connection with our Mars and Uranus in the USA chart, are all pointing to a massive shift in tactics. You notice that this was done with special ops forces, the Navy SEALs, and it was done in coordination mainly with the CIA. And also you notice that right before Bin Laden was hit, there was a shift in making Leon Panetta the Secretary of Defense. Petraeus is going to come in and heading up the CIA. Now, this is very interesting because what you're dealing with are CIA secret special ops combined with a major military man. And my feeling is that just as President Obama said he's going to start getting out of Afghanistan in July, and we're going to start to be moving major troop movements out, and instead, our tactics are going to be to go after terrorists and enemies through the more the means that we, and an elaboration of that, of course, that we went after Osama bin Laden. So I think this is a huge policy shift in the way we conduct wars. like we're not so much doing wars anymore as we're going to shift into these special ops forces.
Hmm. It's all secret sort of stuff.
Yes, and on my newsletter, I actually mentioned this, and when I put up my newsletter, it was right before that it was announced that Osama bin Laden was killed. And by this very method, this was ironic. So I think that this is an opportunity for President Obama to take a different tact with dealing with forces like Al-Qaeda and forces that are basically our enemies. And the reason they're our enemies, they're multitudinous and complex, as you know.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, do you really, now this is going to sound like conspiracy, okay, but many people, including me, wondered if bin Laden really was killed over the last 2 days or whether he was dead for quite a while.
They dumped
his body in the ocean. I mean, maybe it was a BP problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that there was a lot of thought gone into what it would do whipping up the people who are on his side by showing everything and bringing him back and doing all of these things. I think it had to do with sort of public relations and stirring people up. Stirring members of Al-Qaeda up. I happen to believe that I think this actually took place.
Okay.
There's a lot of... What has happened in our society, and for very good reason, is absolutely nobody trusts anybody anymore.
Yeah.
The economy over the past 20 years has been twisted and turned, and the rules have been thrown out the window. And it has crashed and burned for the vast majority of people in this country and in the world at large. Mm-hmm. A handful of banksters, as I'm fond of calling them, and plutocrats have taken over and absolutely used the economy as their personal casino. They have succeeded in paying for people's campaigns and buying out the government so that the government actually got rid of laws that had been in place for a long time, like the Glass-Steagall Act, which had regulated separated financial and commercial banking.
Right.
And in the commodities, so-called Commodities Modernization Act, that allowed derivatives to go through the roof, that took all restraints off of derivatives trade.
Even though there's been a crash, that isn't any better than it was, is it?
Well, that legislation took place at the end of the Clinton administration in 1999. And the Republicans presented these bills, but it was Reuben Greenspan and Lawrence Summers that were behind contriving this. There was a whole series of deregulatory, get the law and the government out of the world of finance so that we can use it as our private casino. And that's exactly what they did.
Mm.
So you have a huge plutocracy that has bought out the government because they finance their campaigns and see to it that they're rewarded after they leave office. And in a sense, they are pretty much bought out, except for a handful of decent, honest people that are there and are fighting against all of this. But basically, this has led now that the economy is crashing and burning, and so many people have lost their houses, their jobs, their lifelines to anything, and they're waking up now. Uranus went into Aries on March the 13th. Jupiter went into Aries the end of January, and that's when we started to see the revolutions erupt in the Middle East. I call this the second American Revolution, and I feel it started in Tunisia and Egypt.
But is there going to be one here, do you think? I mean, what are the planet saying about that?
This is only the beginning. These revolutionary aspects of Uranus in Aries forming a square with Pluto in Capricorn are going to get that aspect is going to get tighter, and next year, a year from now, it's exact. in June, and the Uranus Pluto square will continue through early 2016. So my feeling is that there will be more revolutions because the global economy is depriving people of jobs and livelihoods, all the money. People are being used as slave labor everywhere you look. And the United States, everything that we had in a sense of any balance of power or inhibition of monopolistic corporations has been gradually, over a period of about 30 years, dissipated. Mm-hmm. I'd say since the early 1980s, 1981 to be exact. And then it just got worse no matter who was president, whether it was a Democrat or a Republican. It just continued the deregulatory frenzy and the notion that getting rich was the ultimate, getting rich at any cost was the ultimate American dream.
Mm-hmm.
So that anything having to do with equal opportunity and raising all boats and helping to strengthen the middle class has been a period of time, and you could see with the planetary changes how each stage in that evolved.
Well,
so,
do you see the planets lined up in such a way that it's going to influence the actual dissemblement of all of these, like the destructuring even farther than it is now? Are we in
yes.
a fantasy? What's going
the
on?
Answer is yes, but mm-hmm. I think this is going to result in a revolution. I think that people are starting to wake up. I think they're going to. One of the major indications of this is Wisconsin. The hundreds of thousands of people that assembled there when the governor was taking bargaining rights away from government employees there.
Right.
And it spread to Ohio. And as I've said on this show before, Veronica, I feel that these are going to be local and they're going to start at the grassroots and they're going to spread. And I feel that we're going to have location by location, state by state, there's going to be very much of a relocalization of law and economies for a while. A lot of how you live in America is going to be where the state that you live in, the town, the city that you live in. But I think from the grassroots up, there's going to be massive changes, and it's going to be painful at first because revolutions are very painful to begin with. But ultimately,
isn't it already painful, Linda? Isn't it already really, really frustrating people?
It very much so, but I think it's going to be more so before it lightens up in the 2020s.
Okay. That's a long
time. I feel
time,
that around 2017, the Federal Reserve, as we know it, will be finished, likely.
Oh, wow.
In. There's just going to be the absolutely dramatic changes. As I predicted on this show before and on my newsletters, the dollar has fallen in value. Gold and silver have gone up, although today they were down considerably. Almost everything was down on Wall Street today. Commodities, oil, the stocks. It's interesting, but my feeling is that the dollar as the global currency is coming into question, and Moody's just rated us. We're losing our AAA rating as a nation's economy.
Wow!
big things are going down right now, so people are going into gold and silver as a hedge against the dollar.
Well, but you say silver's gone down today as well?
Yes, silver went down. Gold and silver took a hit today. But
and
this will happen if you have bought gold and silver as a safety play. You will find that there are considerable fluctuations in gold and silver. However, if this is going to be the place to be for a while, because we do not know what the new global currency is going to be. Nobody knows. The euro has not replaced the dollar. because as you know, the European nations have been in even worse trouble. You have Greece and Ireland and Latvia and Iceland and Portugal and Spain. All of these countries have either defaulted or on the verge of defaulting. So
doesn't it mean we drop back into being able to sustain ourselves, and gold and silver is for barter as much as anything, isn't it?
Yeah, well, gold and silver will, in terms, when you translate it in terms of dollars, it's a way of sort of preserving your wealth. Because as the dollar falls, gold, one of the major reasons, you know, people are looking at oil prices and gasoline prices. And one of the reasons behind this is that the dollar is falling. We buy about 80% of our oil from foreign sources.
Hmm.
So as the dollar falls and we have to buy, then you have to pay more dollars for the oil and gas. So the falling of the dollar, the dollar losing value, is the primary thing that is behind these rising oil and gas prices that is scaring everybody.
Hmm.
And the rising food prices. I mean, food, the law during the Bush administration that gave breaks to farmers who produce corn for ethanol has been disastrous. That's the other thing, is there are massive food shortages. You can't feed animals. Mainly corn is the primary food for animals. And so that prices are going up all over the world, and certainly here, for food, because oil has risen in price, of the cost to transport, the ethanol policy, which provides so little energy for cars anyway. It's almost negligible, but it's a major thing for the farmers to divert, instead of feeding people or feeding animals, they are feeding cars.
But you know what's really hard for me is that I know that the farmers have been paid not to produce, and I know a lot of foods have been dumped. So when I hear that kind of stuff, I get really perplexed. Like, what is the reality? And corn is not a good fuel for animals anyway. We know that most animals should not be raised on corn.
Right. They should be grazing,
the majority
of animals. But as you know,
there's a distortion there, isn't there?
Well, industrialized farming has been, I think, a terrible thing. Now, they'll tell you, oh, but people are not starving. You know, we're able to feed a lot more people. But using, for instance, the genetically modified seeds, which is destroying soil, soaking up water, and is hurt, apparently is also the animals that eat this are getting sick, and all of this is being passed on to people. Industrialization of farming, this is part of the philosophy that is dominant in this country, profit at all costs, profit in the healthcare industry, profit at all costs, profit over lives, profit over health. The industrialization of farming and food in this nation is making us sick and obese. You can go on and on and on, where you have capitalism unfettered, that has no more rule of law regulating it, as it's almost like a religion, and it's bringing us down. And this is going to change. It's going to change because it has to.
What is the planetary thing that says it has to change? Is it the Pluto in Capricorn?
Pluto and Uranus are the primary movers at this historic point, and they historically have been the most powerful movers. The last time Pluto squared Uranus was in Aries, as it is now, and Pluto was in Cancer, was in the Great Depression, and also when Europe armed for war, the rise of the dictators, the rise of the Third Reich in Germany, and the Japanese Empire, and
That was the same configuration?
Yes. It's that serious. We were having the worst depression we had had in our history here under Pluto squared Uranus. And then when Pluto was conjunct Uranus was the 1960s with the civil rights and anti-war movements.
And that's because it's much more volatile when it's conjunct. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Pluto to Uranus especially the harsh angles, the conjunctions, the squares, the oppositions, tend to be when these kinds of revolutions take place. And boy, as soon as Uranus went into Aries, in fact, it was the end of January that Jupiter preceded Uranus into Aries, and that's when the Tunisian revolution, the Egyptian revolution, all these protesters began to want to overthrow their despotic regimes. And of course, it's going on in Libya with Gaddafi, it's going on in Syria, it's going on in Yemen, and these nations, whose dictatorships we have backed because of our thirst for oil.
So my question is the whole global, is like you said, we've backed them, is the whole global intrigue that's economic, is that going to come to an end?
Yes, I really feel there are few places on Earth, very few civilizations or nations that are not going to be impacted by this. It's not just America, it's across the world. That people are, and many revolutions do not have a good track record. They wind up killing each other, killing a lot of people, and sometimes replacing that leadership with worse than what was there before. And history is famous for doing that. So it's very, very difficult. Some revolutions will work better than others.
What about the Neptune? I was hearing Neptune and something else that are more loving and softer, both in Pisces and bringing up the potential of a dreamy sort of a softness up for people?
Well, yes, Neptune and Chiron. Chiron, which is not a planet. In fact, Chiron, as his legend would suggest, is a hybrid.
Oh, really?
They think he is a comet that periodically gets trapped in orbit around the Earth. But whether he's a comet or an asteroid or what is always a question. But he is the legendary wounded healer. And right now he is in Pisces, and Neptune is in Pisces. Now, Neptune went into Pisces April 4th. And will be there through August 4th, and then he retrogrades back into Aquarius again until February 4th of 2015, and then he's there until until 2025. So he's going to be there a long time. Now, my analysis of this, and other astrologers as well, is Pisces is a sign of the oceans, of water. And as Neptune in Pisces, we're going to see the oceans rising. We're going to see more severities in global climate change, which recently we have certainly witnessed here in this country. The climatologists have told us that global warming, which a lot of people want to deny, we will see a severity of storms and frequency of extremes throughout the globe. There have always been extremes. I mean, we've always had extreme critical weather, but there will be more severe and more frequent. And this is what we have seen in the past several years all over the Earth, with Australia, the massive drought and heat and fires that broke all records, and then the massive floods. And that's what we're seeing here, flooding, tornadoes, real extremes. And Neptune in Pisces has to do with precipitation.
Oh, my.
Pisces rules the ocean and has a great deal to do with climate and weather. But on a more, a different note, Neptune also rules oil. And so we have been dealing with Uranus transit through Pisces, which just ended. When Uranus was opposition Saturn a year ago, we had the worst oil disaster in our history in the Gulf. Now that Neptune's in Pisces, we're going to have to, I'm calling this the end of the age of oil. Fossil fuel, oil, gas, coal, uranium, nuclear, everything is being exposed of being contaminating, polluting, and dangerous. We're having one accident and disaster after another. It's exposed that we must change how we produce energy.
Mm-hmm.
This is, and there's a mandate by the 2020s. I'm predicting that we will have a brand new source of energy that will not be dependent on coal or oil or gas. I think we're going to invent our way out of that crisis. But until that point, we're going to be suffering consequences the likes of we've never seen this severely and this frequently. I mentioned in many different places in my newsletter and on the air about last year's June lunar eclipse conjunct Pluto. And I said in the past, the last time an eclipse like that took place was when in 1986 when Chernobyl happened, and also the Bhopal chemical disaster. And, of course, first we had the Gulf oil disaster, and then recently we had the Japanese tsunami and earthquake, and now a nuclear disaster that is equal to Chernobyl in its severity.
Mm-hmm.
So these crises, that people can just put their heads in their hands and say, how can we possibly deal with this? I feel there is something underlying all of this that is very positive, and that is forcing us to face our ills.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very, very important, whether it's economics, politics, climate change, fossil fuel, all of these issues are now coming up. We cannot run away from them anymore. And we have to start living differently at the grassroots.
Something, Linda, I want to throw this in as well, is don't you feel that many individuals are feeling a kind of microcosmic effect as well, like their little inner tsunamis, health issues, nerve issues, lack of balance,
yes,
and all of that? Don't you think it's how we experience these planetary influences or star influences?
I absolutely agree with that. Yes, I think all of us are going through our own inner turmoil in connection, like you said, on a micro level. Each one of us is feeling what is going on the planet at large.
Mm-hmm.
And but I feel this way, that once we face these ills, that we need to have a determination and a will and a direction that we can change the way we're living on this planet, that we can move from being a cannibalistic, predatory, warlike species into what many of the great prophets have said we can become,
mm-hmm,
loving, living in concert with the earth and in cooperation with each other, and recognizing that we're all the same consciousness. We're all the divine consciousness expressing itself in an infinite number of possible ways. I think we're at the threshold of an evolutionary leap in human consciousness that is so profound that it and each one of us, in our own way, as we feel this pain, it's because we have to shed the old ways.
Mm-hmm.
Step by step, piece by piece. And it starts with each one of us, how we're living our lives. And I have great hope and faith that this evolutionary change is what this is all about, and that we're going to make it to the other side. And it's not going to take that long. It's not going to take 100 years.
Thank heaven. So I'm going to take a break here right now, and we're going to give a station identification, and we're going to give the numbers. Some people might like to call and speak to Linda about not your own personal issues unless it relates to the whole. Is that right, Linda?
Right.
So our number is 888-815-9756. That is 888-815-9756. You're listening to Paradigm Shifters. My name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor, but my guest tonight is Linda Sherman, and she's an astrologer, and she's talking to us about, I guess I would say, what the stars have to say about preparing for the great shift in humanity. And some of it is a bit of a grisly awakening that's actually making us prepare. And we're on BBS Radio, for those of you who don't have it on your computer screen right now. So it's like we are being, Linda, we are being kind of awakened by a lot of the earth changes and so on, aren't we?
We are, and each one of us is going through our personal struggle in our personal lives with this, but it's sort of like shedding an old skin, in a sense. I don't think that this profound, an evolutionary leap, almost into a new kind of species, the next thing beyond what it is to be human as we know it, I don't think that that takes place the easy way.
You mean refined by the fires?
Right. Well, it's,
initiation period.
I think each one of us in our lives can relate to very, very difficult and dark times that we have gone through. And if if we went through them and had the guts to just face them eyeball to eyeball, so to speak, and go through and do what it takes, when we come out on the other side of that cycle, how many times have we said, you know something, as difficult as that was the best thing that could have happened to me?
Yes, yes.
Because internally, as a person, I am so dramatically changed. I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm more compassionate. I'm more understanding. I'm beginning to get things that I wouldn't have gotten any other way in terms of understanding of things clicking in. And I think this is true of our time on Earth right now, that there's much upheaval, and some people will choose not to stay here. You know,
mm-hmm.
That's true.
I've lost a few friends already very recently. But we have a caller. Somebody wants to talk to you, Linda, and me too, I hope.
Yes.
You're on the air. Good evening.
Hi. Yeah, my name is Rebecca. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, welcome to the show, Rebecca. Have you got a question for Linda?
Yeah, you were kind of talking about it while I was putting my call through about people choosing, whether or not they're going to stay or they're going to go. Can you also talk a little bit about, like, we hear all this about the Illuminati, and was that kind of what you were talking about, of people wanting to, you know, gain wealth for themselves without looking at the whole?
Well, Rebecca, I have just an opinion like anybody else might have about the Illuminati. I'm not heavy into the conspiracy theories that there's an organization that's been around for centuries that are the hallmark of evil. I think it's much more mundane, that there's just a lot of selfish, narcissistic people who have gotten in positions of wealth and power and rationalize how they have the right to take that away from everyone else. But I do see the purpose in giving it a name. I think when people talk about the Illuminati, they're looking to give these forces a name, make them comprehensible to themselves. You know, but I don't really think there is a conspiratorial organization of reptiles or half aliens called the Illuminati. I don't believe that. I think we have to face up that a lot of evil is just ordinary people, very mundane. If you look at what went on in World War II with Adolf Hitler, I swear that there were more movies made of Hitler and his people than any other historic time. And if you look at, for instance, at the History Channel and look at it, he was so ordinary and mundane in his life, as were the people around him, the Germans that were around, that were enjoying feasting and enjoying their new prosperity, and while Jews and gypsies and other people were being slaughtered and killed and murdered. And, you know, I just think that it's amazing how non-special people like this are.
I just want to ask something. Rebecca, can I throw in this? Which is,
sure.
I just have a question as well about whether you think, Linda, that people even in the higher positions of the hierarchy, whether they're mundane or not, the people that are in control, Are they getting bopped around by the planetary stuff and having a microcosmic shift within themselves as well? Are they going to come undone?
I'm of the opinion that they are being challenged as well. Absolutely. I don't think anybody is exempt from what the planets are symbolizing that we're going through in terms of the cycles and the challenges and the conflicts. No, I believe they're very, and it depends a lot about what their individual astrological chart looks like. Because some people have patterns in their natal charts that are hit very, very heavily by this. And other people do not have patterns that are hit in that stressful a way. The planets are more harmonious with their charts, which doesn't make them better or worse than anyone else, believe me. It just challenges them more or less.
Well, I really like your question, Rebecca. Do you have any more questions before we say goodbye?
Well, I'll let someone else get on. I wanted to make a comment, though, Linda. Thank you so much for then finally saying, but these are exciting times. You know what I mean? Because if somebody doesn't really realize what's going on and they might hear, you know, part of the show, they'd go, oh, this is just too overwhelming. So I do think these are very exciting times for us even to be here, to witness this and be a part of. So I want to be a part of it.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I mean, there's not a dull moment.
That's right. Okay, good evening.
And we're surfing change. And we're surfing change, aren't we, Rebecca?
Oh, yeah. You know, and you have to learn just to stay balanced and focus on your own surfboard.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, what other people are doing, and I find that helps a lot.
Yeah, thanks for your call.
Yeah, take care. Bye.
All right, bye. I like that call.
Yes, absolutely.
More. Yeah. Yeah, this is a really interesting time, and I like what you said. I want to say this about Neptune, and the Neptune in Pisces, doesn't it have a really spiritual component as well?
It does. When I described in my newsletter a couple of newsletters ago about this transit of Neptune going into Pisces, I believe that there's going to be a revival in interest in spirituality in a very new way. The thing about Neptune in Pisces is it's in its own sign. In other words, in the natural zodiac, Neptune rules Pisces. And Pisces is the sign of Neptune. So he's very, very comfortable. He is in his own element here. And he has to do with the universal consciousness of all that is. Neptune, in a sense, wins out. He is everything, in a sense. He's experiencing the flow of consciousness as you experience the flow of water and the flow of oceans and tides. That you experience Neptune in your consciousness as leading you into what I call the unobstructed universe, the spiritual world.
Mm.
I feel that we live in a material body, in a material world that we experience primarily as confining and obstructed. And Neptune talks about all possibilities, all consciousness. The universe as a whole. It's interested in life after physical death here. So the opening up of mediumship, I think, and being able to somehow contact our loved ones who've gone over to the other dimensional, another dimensional of expression. I think that Neptune, amazingly enough, we think of science as being ruled by Uranus and Saturn and planets like that. But really, the great scientists like Einstein were ruled by Neptune and Pisces. It has to do with an expansion of consciousness into being able to see a multidimensional reality that goes beyond.
And then he had to bring it in and prove it after, didn't he?
Yes. And yes, Einstein's theory took a long time to prove. My feeling is that science, as we make breakthroughs in science, especially in quantum physics and subatomic science and as we discover, we're going to discover what is our now theory that reality is actually multidimensional. It's not just three dimensions. There may be as many as 21 dimensions.
And we may be opening to be able to mobilize ourselves through those dimensions. Right?
Exactly. We may be expanding and becoming less obstructed in our... and I think also we're going to feel ourselves more, our consciousness of what we are as an energy unit, as opposed to a dense physical unit. I think it's interesting that a lot of people... In the past 20 or 30 years, have suffered bouts with depression.
Oh, hugely. Hasn't it been really incredible?
It has been. In fact, I swear that over half of the nation is on antidepressants. And because with these changes and that are going on are so stressful for people, they just go down for the count, so to speak. But the depression is really living immersed in the obstructed universe. And it cuts you off from the feelings and the energies that inspire you. You feel like you've almost turned into a rock. You feel like you've turned into a block of wood or something of that nature. It makes you aware of existence at that level. And then when you come out of that and your consciousness is raised, you're energized and you realize that really the reality is you're a unit of energy and that you are always moving, that you are, that I think it was Buckminster Fuller who said, I am a verb.
Oh, I like that, eh?
I love that statement.
To be.
That we're going to realize ourselves what we really are at the next stage of our development, and I think it's going to be tremendously exciting as that process dawns on each one of us. And, you know, we go back and forth with this. We may have one day where we feel so energized and elevated, and we're getting an insight every 5 minutes. And then the next day we may fall back in feeling, as I said, it's one of those days I want to crawl in, put my binky over my head. And to be able just to accept that as a part of the process.
Mm-hmm. And actually, in the middle of all that, I think inventions and so on must be picking up speed as well, because as we get more inspired and we move, you know, multidimensionally, isn't that where a lot of inventions, for example, come from?
Absolutely. And this is why I feel when Pluto goes into Aquarius, and by 2026, there is a paradigm in the sky of Pluto, Uranus, and Neptune. A Pluto in Aquarius, trining Uranus in Gemini, sextile Neptune in Aries. There's a paradigm that says that we're going to have an entirely new energy source, as we mentioned earlier in the program, and we will be building an infrastructure for this. Now, can you imagine how this will change human history when we no longer need fossil fuel? Just that one thing alone. All these world wars and sub-wars, everything have been fought over resources. Oh, mainly oil and gas and coal and those deposits.
Well, what if it comes from universal energies like zero point and, you know, the radiant energy that people are drawing in from the universe, too?
Well, it's interesting because a person lived at the dawn, Nikola Tesla,
right,
a great inventor, lived at the dawn of the 20th century. Who had some of these ideas that you could claim energy literally from the air, electricity. There are people that are picking up where Tesla left off and working on this. There's tremendous work going on in this arena.
And all over the world, it's small pockets, you know.
It is. And we're living in a time where small is beautiful.
Because the other thing about the internet too, I mean, if you're small but you're all over the world and you're in touch with others who are small, it's a really unfolding wave, isn't it?
I think it's phenomenal how this level of communication can be reached from with people from all over the world, how you can reach each other. And this is very, very hopeful, that people can contact one another this way.
Mm-hmm. And support each other when people might have been... I like to quote about watching five different women from different countries in the Middle East saying how they were on a panel and they were saying that normally they're not allowed out of their places, but they were all getting very wise and very international because of the internet. You know, it's great.
Yes, and I absolutely, and I also think this is one of the reasons you're having these revolutions in Tunisia and Egypt, because these people are... in touch. They're using the internet, they're using their cell phones and their iPods, everything. They're communicating with one another all over the world. They're getting information that they're realizing there are other ways of life.
But you know, it reminds me of the multidimensional aspect of humanity and how actually when people, for example, on the internet are rising into communication past the obstructions of their system.
Exactly.
It's a little bit like moving dimensions, isn't it? A little bit, you know?
Absolutely. I think that's a very good way of putting it, Veronica, that the limitations of their cultures and their geographies and their societies are not removed, but almost removed.
Mm-hmm. And what about in the planetary systems the way it is, what is it about revelations? There's still a lot of revelations going on. Do you see more of that coming up?
Revelations in what sense?
In the sense of WikiLeaks and the Goldman Sachs stuff and the corporate swindles of mortgages and so on.
Oh, absolutely.
All of those are revelatory, aren't
they? Oh, absolutely. And again, people have to choose to really look at that. A lot of people are paying no attention to it. They're just paying no attention to all this, what they hear about something with wood, but they're not really looking at what has happened. But it is hopeful that you have people now reporting. One of my favorites is Matt Taibbi, who writes for Rolling Stone. And then there was a woman who reported on the Koch brothers financing the Tea Party movement, the woman that wrote the article in the New Yorker. And there, of course, there's WikiLeaks, and I'm very happy about that. But there just still are not enough people that are looking into that and taking that responsibility to say we've got to know what's happening in order to change it. We have to face it first. You can't get around facing it.
What kind of planetary structures really amp up that need for things to be revealed?
Oh, I think the Pluto-Uranus square. Uranus in Aries is a sign, a fire sign that is it demands to know. And Pluto, Aries is young and bright, and Pluto in Capricorn is the establishment. As I said in my book, it's the disestablishment of the establishment that we're witnessing, the breakdown of the old. See, it's interesting when you talk about revolution. And when the American Revolution took place, we knew we were rebelling against England, the Empire, and King George. The French Revolution knew who the noble people were who had held power for centuries. They knew Marie Antoinette. They knew who the people were that they were overthrowing. Over here, they don't know who they're overthrowing. Too many people in this nation are so ignorant that Jamie Dimon, the CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase, Lloyd Blankfein, the CEO of Goldman Sachs, all who presided over all of these trades and all of these subprime lending, Lawrence Summers, who Obama had on board with him until recently, was one of the big three in the Clinton years that deregulated the economy and went around the world selling derivatives. These people who were movers and shakers and had this enormous power to undo the rest of us and undo the economy and crash everything. And the problem is that most people don't know who they are.
Exactly. You know, it's we have a dictatorship going on, but we don't know where it is.
You're absolutely right. And it's time we woke up and knew who these people are.
But
and they are being reported upon, the whistle, but too many people aren't reading. They're not paying attention. They're escaping into their little worlds of watching TV. And
it's called reality TV, but it's not really real, is it?
It's not reality, no. It's more escapism.
Well, so talk a bit about your book. We're almost at the end, so I forgot to mention, or I haven't mentioned yet, your book. So talk
My
about
book
it. It's
is What Next.
Book.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's called What Next, A Survival Guide to the 21st Century. It was published in June of 2007, and most of the things that I predicted in this book are playing out, have come true and are coming true. I'm working on a second book now, which I will let you know about when I get it more together. My publisher asked me to write a second book. But this book, What Next, you can get off of Amazon.com.
Oh, and it's really wonderful. And you have a lot of ideas of how people can get together in a community consciousness to build up the new reality.
Absolutely. I think that is all important, is the relocalization of our lives, local organic farming and gardening, conservation and recycling of water, building with I have a section of the book built written by a solar architect, how we can change our houses so that we're not using up a lot of fuel, oil, and gas. In other words, the relocalization of our life, local community cooperation with one another, eco-villages. There are all kinds of things that I talk about in the book, which are solutions for the time being for where we're going.
I think it's really, really helpful. It's a book everybody should have. And your website?
My website, again, is www.soothsayer.com.
I love the word soothsayer, but it's nice to have soothsayer. That's
yes, and I have a new newsletter that goes up on that site at the first of every month.
Great. And people can just sign up and it will come to them.
Oh, they can just go directly to it. You just go to it. You can Google it. And click and go right to the newsletter. It's free for everyone.
How wonderful. Well, this has just been wonderful to talk to you. You've got me thinking as usual, Linda. And I hope everybody at home is enjoying, feeling empowered as we watch a whole bunch of dissemblement, but also there's the new part coming up, isn't there?
There's method to the madness of the universe.
Yay! Maybe we're growing up and we can make it into the intergalactic whatever out there, eh?
Very exciting.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much, Linda. I really enjoyed this.
It's my pleasure, Veronica.
All right, we'll talk again.
Okay.
So this is Veronica Entwistle. You've just listened to Paradigm Shifter. Our Paradigm Shifter tonight is Linda Sherman of Soothsayer.com, and she and the book What Next, which you really should get. It's very, very good. And I want to say that next week, who's coming up, is Jack Hawley. He was on recently talking about the Bhagavad Gita, which he rewrote as a walkthrough for Westerners. Now, he spent, for 30 years, he and his wife spent 6 months at the Sai Baba ashram. So I've invited him back on to Paradigm Shifters to talk about his experiences. There's so much controversy about Sai Baba, what he is, what were his intentions, and so on. And Jack Hawley is a really straightforward and very, very kind and spiritually centered man. So tune in next week at 8 o'clock for some time with Jack Hawley talking about Sai Baba. You might want to check out his book, also the Western, what is it called, Bhagavad Gita, A Western Walkthrough. A walkthrough for Westerners. That's what it is. Jack Hawley, Hawley. And Jackie's going to be away, so there's going to be a rerun of her show on Thursday night at 8 o'clock. And I'm not sure which one to pick. It's up to me. So if you've got a choice, let me know. Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle.com. Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle.com. It'll be a good show because Jackie's shows are always a wonderful talk about a walkthrough of her evolution and talking to her guides and her team about what's going on the planet and how to empower yourself at 7 o'clock Thursday. I will be there again. We're talking about oneness, how to create community, and just anything you want to talk about, meditations, call in, talk about you. Again, this is Veronica Entwistle. Thank you so much for listening, even if you're listening in the archives. And let me know what you think and ideas you have, Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com. Or if you want a session with me, Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com. Or with Linda Sherman, Soothsayer.com. That's an E in the middle, Soothsayer.com. Thank you very much for listening. Take a deep breath. Breathe out love to one another in the paradigm-shifting community. Many blessings and good night.